This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Viva the revolution, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Not only do we have Jim Campbell, Pete Donaldson and me in our ranks today, but also everyone's favourite brazen beauty is back. It's Luke Aaron-Moore.
Oi, oi!
Oi, oi, indeed. Three is company, but four's a ramble. Luke Moore.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's fine. Yeah,
what did you shout? I put the mics up during the music, so I hope nobody said anything untoward.
It was actually something very witty.
Oh.
I think the listeners are going to be very disappointed and now they've missed it.
Welcome back, Luke.
Thanks.
Did you enjoy Thanksgiving and mainly the pie?
I did enjoy... Actually, the pies I ate when I was away...
Give us a prezi on the pies you ate. Give us a little...
I don't think we've got time.
Well, you say that, but I didn't...
What's the opening pie?
Apple. Blueberry. Pumpkin.
That's
it.
Pumpkin's the classic.
No meat pie.
No, they don't really do that.
When they say pie, it's a dessert.
I thought it was, you know, you could have either.
Oh, I see what you mean. What, a steak and apple pie?
Yeah.
Pork and apple.
Mince meat and orange pie.
Let's not get into the pies I didn't have.
The pioneer, they pioneered sort of caramel, so you could have, like, bacon and honey.
I genuinely thought that was going to be a pun around the word pioneer.
And you
didn't even realise.
I did realise, but then I thought better of it.
Because you hate puns.
I hate puns.
Hang on a minute. I did realise, I thought better of it, and then said it.
I said it after you said it. Let's not point fingers.
So does that mean you meant it or not?
I don't know anymore.
Anyway,
I'm still tired, guys.
Shall I take the reins again?
if you would, Marcus.
I got home and the boiler had exploded, so that's a £2,600 down the...
Exploded with well-wishing?
Yeah.
And exploded with love for you returning?
It was overcome with my return and decided to pack it in.
Yeah. And on your return, you had to eat humble pie. Now, speaking of which, Jose Mourinho was sent to the stands during Manchester United's clash with West Ham United. He's been charged, obviously,
He must be up to £500,000 by now.
He's not far away.
We should do a totalise like they do on Children in Need.
Give us your old spoons.
Yeah. if you want.
Yeah.
To donate anything you can to Mourinho's, essentially his pledge to just run up as many fines as possible.
Yeah. Do you think the FA have got that thing that charities do, where, you know, tick here for your UK taxpayer, yeah. We assume the managers are,
yeah.
And they can claim, what is it, 25 pence or whatever?
I think you get 20% extra, don't you?
Yeah.
He should do it as like a charity thing, like Movember, where he tries to get as many fines as possible and then he'll match that to charity.
I think he is doing that. But I don't think he'll match it himself.
I think he's thinking he's going to get Christmas off, but he's not going to.
No.
Because that's not how it works. What I would say is it's a good job to get the results, isn't it? It's a good job his football team are doing quite well. Yeah. All these fines.
That Man United West Ham game, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, we'll come on to that in a second. But firstly, you need to answer this. What do you think should happen to managers after receiving their marching order from the referee if they've misbehaved?
Oh, like, rather than just being sent to the stand?
Yes.
Mm. Okay, yeah.
Well, it's quite a modern thing, isn't it? How long has it been that managers can be sent off? It can only be like, what? Probably since we've been doing the show.
I don't actually like it as it stands, because if you're a player, you get sent off, you have to go around the tunnel, and normally they get changed, don't they, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Managers seem to just be able to go up into the stand and pass notes to their coaches.
What is the difference? Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I think as well, if you're sending someone off, use a card. Just do it or don't. I don't like this halfway house.
I don't like the way they don't give them the card. They need the card. That's what point number one.
Give them the card.
Point number two, they need to be somewhere where they can't influence the game.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that's the point.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. During the West Ham game, Rui Faria was making...
He looked terrified, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. He's like, oh, this has happened again.
he's got to get used to it.
Am I going
to
get paid more?
No. He was essentially just carrying out instructions from the manager.
True,
yeah.
but the manager's presence can make a difference. I mean, think about someone like Diego Simeone.
Yeah.
On the touchline, he and Jurgen Klopp, those kind of managers, it would make a big difference to, I would have thought.
But do you not think they should...
Send them off the premises.
Well, hang on, you'll have your chance to answer.
What about this, right? If Steven Gerrard and his pomp was sent off for Liverpool, mm-hmm. as we saw happen... sometimes in quite comedic circumstances. If he then stood on the touchline mm-hmm. or up in the stand, like passing notes to everyone, it would be pointless. Mm. The whole point is he's being punished. He's being removed from the game. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
He should have been sent out to collect his wayward passes. Still rattling around the stands.
Well, Jim, what is your answer?
What I would do is I would then make the manager have a little think about what they've done and say, basically, look, if you're going to act the prat... we'll turn you into a bit of a clown, and you can be the mascot for the rest of the game.
That's
you
good.
Just have to hang about on the touchline, entertaining the kids.
In full uniform?
In the full felt nightmare. Yeah. In the full felt clown suit.
I like that.
Imagine Bob Bradley as a swan.
Yes. Yeah. Bob the swan.
Yeah.
I haven't got Bob, not this week. He's had a lovely time.
We'll come on to that very soon, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a week it's been.
Okay, so they should become the mascot for the rest
of
the game.
Yeah, they'd be the mascot, but they would really have... They'd be sort of forced into situations where they look really daft
so that
they could think about what they've done and not do it again.
Like that, Luke?
I think, and this might be partly inspired by the time of year we're on, I think they should either. I guess I was sort of specifically thinking about Jose Mourinho here.
We're still in November, remember?
Yeah, I know. I know what month it is. I think he should be have to work in a soup kitchen for the homeless next to the ground.
Yeah.
And actually put a bit back into the community to apologise for his wayward behaviour.
Well, you really want the points, don't you?
And I also think he should write out Christmas cards to homeless children.
See, what he's done there is he's thought to himself, I want the points on my first week back, and he says, if I don't give you the points now...
He's full of goodwill.
Yeah. If you want to behave like an idiot, Jose, that's up to you.
Yeah,
you've got the money to pay the fines, that's up to you.
Enjoy getting the smell of soup out of your clothes.
Yeah, but put a bit back.
Yeah. Mm.
Like we all do every week. Sometimes twice a week.
Indeed. Peter.
Well, don't hand out the points too quickly,
no, I'm
Marcus.
Not. Well, what have you got then?
Well, I reckon he should have to check the toilets for errant teenagers. Because,
yes.
Like those teenagers are hidden in the toilet and waiting
of
for
Old
the next
Trafford.
Day at Old Trafford.
Mm.
He's got to go around from every gate, got to go around the whole thing looking for teenagers.
Pete, I completely missed this.
Possibly discarded bombs.
I remember that.
Remember the discarded bomb on the
I don't remember the teenagers.
Fake bomb.
Though.
The teenagers, it was last. It was this weekend, in fact. There were some errant teenagers left behind from the night. I think
They went to a club tour, didn't they? No, they stayed, but they hid in the toilets.
After the match or before the match?
No, otherwise that's a rubbish scheme.
Well, exactly. No. Yeah, they went on a tour and they went to the toilet and they hid there.
They hid there.
And they filmed themselves and stuff. It's kind of like those guys that went running around the roof of West Ham.
Yeah, but that's actually quite interesting. Oh, we were in the toilet. Well done.
No, no, but they came out and then they...
They came out and enjoyed the match. Oh, they okay, tried right. to, at least they tried to, I think.
This is completely passed me by. I didn't know this happened.
No.
Okay.
Don't worry, mate.
So what you're saying is Jose Mourinho should have that as his key, one of his key responsibilities if he is to be sent to the stands. So for the next week...
Every last one.
Yeah, because I'd probably do a lot of tours at Old
Trafford.
He's
got to have one of those little metal fobs that security guards have that he beeps on the wall to prove that he's been there as well.
And would he occasionally perhaps come across John Terry doing one of his own personal tours for a lofty fee?
Do you remember that?
Do you remember that?
You don't, do you?
John Terry, England captain. Look it up. I don't want to libel the guy. Look at that. It's been reported elsewhere.
I've already done enough.
Libel the guy with a history of his own actions.
No, what you said was right.
Basically, John Terry was... I'm just going to serve this as a bit of an aid memoir for those that remember.
Right.
John Terry was awarded the captaincy of England. And he, shall we say, celebrated that captaincy by running personal tours for friends and family and friends of friends around Wembley using
his
access.
No, was it not Stamford Bridge?
I think it was Wembley.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Listen, one thing we can agree on, it was 10 grand a time. So
to friends and family?
I think, or friends of friends, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think part of the reason that I don't remember that is, frankly, it is way down the list.
It is, isn't it?
So far down the list.
Frank wasn't there.
Listen, I'll tell you something now. If Sir Stanley Matthews had done that, that's all he'd be remembered for.
That's right.
Bobby Moore didn't even nick a necklace once.
No,
we'll remember that.
I know.
Never even did it.
You particularly remember that, Jim. Why?
Why are you
cocking a snook?
Noted Bobby Moore hater Jim Carroll.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Why did you hate Sir Bobby Moore so much? Where's your statue?
Footballers didn't earn as much back then, you know? It's fair enough when I think about it.
What, not nicking stuff?
Yeah.
Pete gets the points.
Steady.
Get lost with your coup.
Steady. It's because your boiler's exploded.
It has, actually. Did I tell you about that? I already mentioned that, haven't I? Go on, Marcus.
No, apparently I don't get a say anymore.
No, and rightly so. I've heard your answers before.
But to be fair,
I listen to every single one of the shows miles away. You're not getting a go.
I think that the manager needs to sit down and talk to Craig Brown. Sven
Gronau.
No, get out.
That was joking.
Come on, then. What's your answer?
Your boiler of memes has exploded.
I think put the... manager in a human-sized pot filled with...
Lube?
Could be.
Yogurt,
dripping,
can I interest you in a paddling pool?
Right by the pitch.
Yeah.
So they have to get in it and then watch the rest of the match from
in
there.
In speedos.
Yeah. You can add whatever you'd like.
All right, Marcus has got the point.
Thank you.
Oh.
And, no, but imagine that, though. You have to say, all right, you've misbehaved. You're not going to the stands. Get in the pot.
Get in the pot.
No, not the Ghanaian pot.
I'd like to see him dive off one of those sort of ersatz diving board into a bath of baked beans.
Yeah.
Mm. Or maybe get gunged.
Yeah. Now you're talking.
He's got to run the risk.
Noel Edmonds. Oh, yeah.
With Peter Simon.
You've had your
Peter
answer.
Simon,
there's no running the risk.
Yeah.
Right. Get in the pot. And you have to watch the rest of the game in the pot by the side of the pitch.
Cooking away.
People just looking at you. You feel humiliated. That's what you misbehave, you go in the
pot. Can you still pass notes to Rui Faria?
No, because...
Sodden notes.
Well, Luke, from what I remember, the pot was human-sized, so I don't know whether that means you can get your arms out or not.
I was about to say, Jim, you have to be placed in the pot, so you can't wave your arms around. It'll be every manager has to be measured at the start of the season, so they have their own size pot.
Imagine the FA, like, the Premier League, this is what we're doing. We're getting rid of the real problems in the game. In my mind, it's like one of those old type Victorian diving suits.
Yeah, if you want.
I'm thinking of like an Iron Maiden sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
But the pot is tailor made, so they can just see over.
Okay,
so they're slightly stretching.
Little shame pot.
Humiliating.
It's the
shame pot.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pete is the only one in this room who would happily volunteer to go in that every single week.
Be nice, a little bit of Pete soup.
That's the name of the show, sorted.
Yeah,
there we are. It's his first week back, and he's got the points. Luke Moore.
Yeah, well, just Jose Mourinho doing his bit to help the community is something I'm sure we'd all like to see.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Instead of just showing off like a brat.
Something in the Premier League that we do like to see is 5-4 thrillers.
Oh, don't we?
What a game! Enormous scores are back.
An avant-garde approach to defending.
Yeah,
like genuinely surrealism.
Yeah. the free kick wasn't bad, although the keeper would be a bit disappointed. Zaha's goal was quite... Zaha said it there.
Zaha. Yeah.
Zaha's goal was quite a nice turn and finish, but most of the goals were dreadful. Sure.
Let's talk about our favourite ones. Yeah. Mine was Jack Cork's.
Oh, what a goal.
Yeah. It's sort of like backwards off his face. Yeah. That's a rare thing.
Looped right in the corner
as well. Proper own goal.
Genuinely never seen a goal like that before.
No.
That's one of the things that amazes me about football. There's still these combinations of angles that I've never seen.
And the way that... mean, because if you score four goals on the road, you really do want to be taking something from the game. Don't you?
Against the team in the relegation zone.
I know. And the way that Crystal Palace, I don't know. I've been away, as you know, and I only saw it very, very briefly. Were all of Crystal Palace's conceded goals from some sort of set piece?
I don't think
so. The thing is,
positionally they are awful at dead balls. They give away too many free kicks and they can't defend them. So choose one to work on, Alan.
Yeah.
Just either work on defending
start
them or stop giving them away.
That's the first dig at Pardew.
Yeah. Mm.
It won't be the last.
He's lost his sixth game in a row. Peter, you've always said that you cannot arrest a slump.
Or a slide.
A slump would suggest an end.
True, yeah.
Gravity ends that, doesn't it?
He can't arrest a slumping.
Nah. Isn't one endless slide.
A slumping leads to a slump.
Yeah. At what point does it essentially evolve from a slide into a black hole? Where nothing can escape, not even radiation.
Just endless. It's like he's got a slingshot.
That's one for Nostradamus,
or can radiation escape from a black hole? I can never remember.
He's like a satellite that's slingshotting round a moon or something.
Is he?
Yeah, constantly.
Sooner or later, Steve Parish is going to blast him into space. Yeah. And I think I hear Big Sam clearing his throat.
Is it safe to say that Big Sam's waiting in the wings?
Yes.
Yeah. Get out of the wings, mate. That got you in trouble.
That was the problem.
I like Bob Bradley calling Alan Pardew Pardew.
Yeah, that was good.
Pardew.
It's an incredibly gaunt man, Bob Bradley, isn't it? I realise he looks like the man from, you know, the painting American Gothic. It's by Grant Wood.
Crossed,
very, very famous.
Crossed with Munch's The Scream.
Yeah, very much so.
Right, I was going to go for The Scream, yeah.
I think I read somewhere before there are about four or five The Screams in existence, and a couple of them are used as bargaining chips and ransom demands between criminal gangs.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Did you hear about that?
I heard that, yeah.
Bob Bradley.
That's not one up.
I went to the Edvard Munch Museum in Norway, I want to say.
Okay.
Maybe.
I thought, okay, fine, yeah, I've not been there.
Well.
There we go.
What museums have you been to? There's no.
Well, you've been to the Icelandic Penis Museum, Peter.
I did, set up a room there. I went to the British Museum over the weekend.
Did you really?
And I forget how good that is. When I was a kid, I used to love Egyptian stuff, the Rosetta Stone and that.
You've answered this before.
Double Dragon 3.
Yeah, it's all British stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, put £5 in this box. I'm going, you stole most of this shit.
Yeah, you stole most of this.
It should be the best of everywhere else.
Yeah, it's the best of the world, really. Yeah. Isn't it?
You've answered this before, but I'll ask you again. Why can't Pete Dawson's Museum be a YouTube weekly video series?
Well, just to stroll around sort of going... Yeah, look at this.
Like that. Don't like that one. Yeah, like that.
In a way, Pete's...
I'll put that in my mouth.
Pete's flat is sort of his own museum.
Pete gives the Elgin Marbles back to Greece. That's a YouTube series.
Yeah, if you ever make news of them, you returning all the stuff where it should be.
Yeah, in
carry-it.
But you have to re-steal it.
Yeah, I've got to just chip a little bit off and put it in a carrier bag like Keegan at the airport.
I'd love you to go to Greece, promise the Elgin Marbles, go back... to the British Museum.
Get some marbles.
Back to Greece again with just some dust.
Yeah.
And they go, what's that? First instalment.
Down payment.
First instalment. Rest is coming. You know, I'm good for it. Yeah. You can DNA test that.
How
do we get from Bob Bradley to the Elgin Marbles? inside a minute.
How do we ever get anywhere?
No, he looks like a marble.
He does, actually.
Marble-esque.
But listen, he should be celebrating a very, very important win.
Well, I'm sure he has been. Yeah. But again, it's a strange one, isn't it? It's a win where you still concede four goals. So
he won't care about that, though, will he?
Well, he should, though, shouldn't he? Sooner or later, it's going to become a problem again.
I think that night he went to bed, and instead of dreaming about sheep jumping over fences, he dreamed about Fernando Llorente jumping over, celebrating, pumping both his fists.
Nice for Llorente, wasn't it?
The great thing, I presume, for Pete's point of view, is the fact that Pardew's Palace were, I think, 4-3 up at the end of normal time, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. But I think
that happened a lot at his tenure at Newcastle, if I remember rightly. He never claws it out.
They turned it round so late as well.
But if people who've been listening for a couple of seasons at least now, it doesn't that actually count as a loss for Swansea?
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah.
Well, the great thing about I love the fact in this game that Johan Cabaye's bleached hairdo backfired.
Yeah.
You can definitely easily identify him on the line, not clearing one off. Who's that? Oh, it's definitely Cabaye.
Yeah. He almost looks like a really, really inept version of Messi when you factor the kit in as well, like a little Messi.
The bleached hair is essentially gone from something I'll do as a bit quirky so I can stand out in the middle of the park and everyone can see me to, this is an easier aid for Pardew to assess my performance on Monday on the DVD.
Well, actually, finally, funnily enough, like, is it Why England Lose, which talks about how players with blonde hair are often overvalued precisely because they stand out more in games where they're scouted.
Stand out more in trials, apparently, yeah. Mm. Yeah, didn't help me, did it? Did not help me at all.
Maybe that's why Aaron Ramsey's done it, Jim. Is he angling for a move?
Maybe he is. Ooh. So there is Pete Donaldson, Schadenfreude are all over Crystal Palace, isn't there, with Kabai being there as well.
And Townsend.
Yeah, Townsend.
As well. But I like Townsend. I like Kabai, to be honest.
Kabai's just
Kabai's better than what he's suggesting to everybody at the moment.
It looks to me, and this is only a personal opinion, not one from the wider Football Ramble Limited, that Kabai's throwing games for Crystal Palace. So, I mean, presumably you do like him. If anything, he's your agent on the inside.
Yeah, what exactly. The absence, provocateur.
The absence of Dwight Gayle, too. That's good thing for you.
Man with an off face. Yeah. Boy with an off face. So, no, it's sad. I've said it before, I've said it again. Don't give Alan Pardew work. Because he'll ruin it eventually.
After
an excellent season.
Yeah. I think he'd be terrible at most things.
What?
Pardew.
What would he do if he wasn't in work?
He used to fit windows in some of London's highest buildings, Marcus.
He
was a window fitter because I think it was the BBC, maybe someone else, did an excruciating long interview with him when they got to the cup final.
Right.
And it might have been the semi-final because he scored a goal in the semi-final when he was a player, didn't he? And they talked about him being a window fitter. Yeah, I don't know why.
Was this before he was a footballer or between being a footballer and a manager?
I think it might have been while he was an apprentice footballer. Right. I think.
Bet those pre-FA Cup final VTs from back in like the 80s when they had to fill. They legitimately had to fill 6 hours.
I bet there was
some absolute padding going on.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Because, I mean, they only fill like 2 hours nowadays. We don't have that much of an event anymore, do we?
They start off at 9 a.m, I remember. Mm. And they didn't even show stuff like the buses turning up at the hotels and everything. It's a
precursor to the rolling news nonsense we have now in a weird way, just for one day a year.
It's, in a weird way, it's responsible for Jim White.
I miss it. I miss it.
Indeed. We're going to be back talking about the Premier League after this.
So good. Very good. Very good. So good.
Oh, hello, everybody. Welcome back. Manchester United 1, West Ham United 1.
I bloody well enjoyed this game.
The first time Manchester United have gone 4 league matches without a win since 1990.
On top of that, Marcus.
No way.
At this point, Mourinho has 2 points fewer than David Moyes did after 13 games.
I love that. Moyes is destined to always be that barometer.
Yeah, there was something like this with Van Gaal as well.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
You think he's bad?
Moyes is the Manchester United manager barometer for the rest of his life.
Is it fair to say to Manchester United fans, don't always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone?
I mean, Alex Ferguson was an unfair kind of barometer.
Yep.
And I think so was he, to a certain extent.
I think he got
average the two out and say and meet in the middle and sort of go.
So David Moyes is zero freezing point and Alex Ferguson is 100 boiling point.
Yes.
Yep. Mm. In between that is where you are on the gauge.
It'd be interesting to see where Mourinho finishes at the end of the season because at least Van Hull, they qualified for...
Let's just talk about his FA fines. That's what he wants.
All right.
At the end of the season will probably be some sort of secure unit the way things are going.
He'll be bankrupt.
Ibrahimovic is thinking I should have stayed at Paris Saint-Germain.
This time next year Mourinho will be thinking, this time last year I was dishing out soup to homeless people, now I am getting the soup.
He'll be alright.
He didn't face the media after the match, did he?
Is that because he'd been sent off?
If I
can't do the match, I'm not doing this either.
Yeah, maybe he's interpreted the rules wrong.
He needs to think of more creative ways of doing this stuff because everyone's bored of that now.
Mm. I think that applies to his team as well.
Yeah, true. I thought this game was good. It was about a 20-minute spell. It was a bit dull, but other than that, it was end to end. But to be fair to Mourinho's United on Sunday, a lot of the criticism that was levelled at United under Van Gaal certainly. To a slightly lesser extent, Moyes, is that it was just boring, right? There was nothing happening. They weren't doing anything. They weren't moving the ball quick enough. Look, Mourinho's United against West Ham. They had a lot of chances. Yeah. Darren Randolph had an amazing game and goal there. And that's not something that's been new for you against United this season. There's been other goalkeepers this season who've played really well.
There has. I mean, it really, Manchester United, they're on 20 points at the moment. They should probably be on 26, yeah, because those three games where Tom Heaton. Lee Grant was
yeah for Stoke
yeah and Darren Randolph yeah. The fact of the matter is they've not got those extra points
I think you can also argue they should have beaten Arsenal as well
29
they should be top of the league and that's how football works but it's true like they've oh my goodness But it was a good point for West Ham, although they could have won it at the end. Imagine if they'd have nicked it.
There was one thing that needs to be pointed out was that there was an amazing Man United move, which was almost finished off by Jesse Lingard, where Darren Randolph made an amazing save at the near post, tipped around the post. That would have been one of the goals of the season. It was reminiscent of that goal that Arsenal scored. Was it against Norwich that Jack Wilshere finished off?
Yeah.
It was just like that, very, very quick one-touch
pass. So they're looking better.
They're knocking the ball around nicely. Yeah. They are looking better, Marcus, but they've got a point at home to West Ham, and West Ham haven't been very good this season, so it's still 2 points dropped, no matter how well they played.
That's true. Rooney's considering a no-selfie policy.
I support that.
After those wedding photos.
The camera sensor's breathing a sigh of relief there.
I wonder why the CCDs has become public.
There's an unwritten rule here that there should be. If you go to a hotel bar and you've had a few drinks, and you see Wayne Rooney, and he's had a few drinks, and you're brave enough because you're fueled with a bit of Dutch courage to go over there and have a photo with him, there should be an unwritten rule that photo's just for me.
Yeah.
We're both adults, we both had a drink, we both had a... Don't go and stick it on the internet and ruin it for everyone else.
That kind of thinking, you know, it's impossible, isn't it? There's always going to be some dickhead.
It's ambitious, yeah. I'd like to think that there is still some chivalry when it comes to football.
I know someone who is fairly well known on the telly in that, who slept with a girl, and he woke up in the hotel room, and she was taking a picture of him, and he's gone, "Please delete that." And she goes, "No, that's for me." It wouldn't have been for him.
Are you living your life vicariously through him? The way you told that story is very passionate.
Yeah.
Oh, I know someone on the telly. Oh, and he had sex with a woman. Oh, and there was a photo being taken.
What I would say is
loads of pathos in that picture.
Well, yeah. Pathos.
Some of us are lucky enough not to have leg tattoos. So if you send someone a picture of your Willy, they'll see it, won't they? Very identifiable, my Willy.
Someone also sent a picture. I'm fairly sure we once got an email into the Ramble inbox that just said, "Oh, I saw Pete Donaldson on the tube the other day, and it was just a photo of one of your tattooed legs."
Yeah,
that's weird.
No, was it not a tattooed leg? No, was it not somebody who had the same tattoo as you?
No, that was different. That was a live show.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Someone else with a camera.
I mean, we spent a good few years finding it utterly hilarious that Pete's got a LeChuck from Monkey Island tattoo on his leg, and then at a live show we found someone else who also had it. You've inspired him to do that, I hope you sleep well. I hope you sleep well.
I'm a fan of the LeChuck tattoo.
True. Speaking of legs and thighs, Paul Robinson. In goal for Burnley.
He's back.
They are enormous thighs.
Old men's noses and ears don't stop growing? It's like that with his thighs, isn't it? It's astounding.
Yeah, I like that.
He played pretty well first half, didn't he?
He was brilliant. I mean,
made a hell of a save.
Yeah, he did.
I would like to point out with the match we just moved on very quickly from.
Yeah.
Fellaini got his five.
Oh, did he?
So he will be working over... Well, he's a Muslim, so he's not going to be celebrating Christmas, so it's fine. So he can work over Christmas.
Still going to do some graft.
Bless him.
Yeah.
He's going to be working.
Because we were talking about...
I had it. I listened to it.
Oh, good man. Because Howard Webb, Luke's new bezzie, said that players sometimes want to get the fifth...
I've got Howard Webb on the brain. I was so excited to talk to him. It was really fascinating to do so. That at the airport on the way out a couple of weeks ago, I swore I saw him. And I was like, right, I'm going to go over there and talk to him, because he'll definitely remember me, because it's only been a few weeks.
Was it Richard O'Brien?
It wasn't him. It just wasn't him. It was a really tall, big, bald
Every
man.
Every bald man looks like him.
But Howard Webb pulled out some interesting things in that interview. He said that, one of the things that really surprised me that he said, and I meant to mention this to you guys, but obviously I went away, is that he said 100%, I gave him a couple of examples in that interview as why players haven't been sent off, or why this hasn't happened, and why that hasn't happened. And he said 100%, the referees don't want to do it if it's a big occasion. They won't do it. Mm. So even though they should be implementing the laws of the game, whatever the occasion, he says not only do they not do it, but it's well known among refereeing circles that they won't do
it. Would you say that despite not being a referee anymore, he's a bit of a whistleblower?
He is very much so.
Yeah.
He said he refereed a Manchester derby, I think it was, and someone put a big tackle in early on, first few minutes, proper bad one, red card, and he only booked him because he said, "I will get absolutely slaughtered in the press all week if I send him off in the first few minutes. It'll be my fault, and so that's why I didn't do it." And he also said, he talks at great length about the World Cup final and the Nigel de Jong thing, and it gives a really interesting perspective. I'm not just saying that because I want everyone to go and download it. You should, because it's fascinating.
But I want them to.
He gives a really interesting insight into that I hadn't heard before, so definitely worth checking out.
It must filter back to the players and the managers, that knowledge.
Oh, I think so, yeah. They go to the... he also told me they go to... people probably know this, but they go to the clubs before... the season every year. Every season they go to the clubs and talk to them and let them know exactly what they're working on and everything like that. So it's fascinating. Guy. Very, very nice man, by the way, as well. Yeah. Nice guy.
I remember Fellaini, we talked about him, I brought him up. He had a personal meeting with one of the referee's representatives and sort of said, look, you need to just book your ideas up and stop getting a yellow card. Remember his first season at Everton?
Yeah.
And he was just flying around like a div. After he had that meeting, I think he only got like 3 yellow cards for like the remainder of the season, which for him was definitely cutting down a little bit.
And then he forgot about it again.
And then back on.
Pretty much the same
back on next season.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I thought you just meant for this season.
Indeed.
But fundamentally, Burnley won Man City 2.
That's right.
I thought Burnley played better than I thought they were going. Well, considering the bet of the week
on
the Friday show.
I need to bring out the old dust off the old corrections and clarifications section.
You do.
Because I said that John Stones was at Burnley previously, and you even made me question it. But he was, of course, at Blackburn Rovers. Everyone who's been tweeting me, he was at Blackburn. All of the North is the same. No, it's Barnsley.
Can I just say that?
You've got to choose one. No, go with that, man.
I'll choose Barnsley because I've been vigorously told that that's the one.
Do you know, I just looked it up and it was Burnley, mate. So there we go. I'm not just after time here because I wasn't on the show. I would never have let you guys do that bet of the week with Burnley. They're too good at home. They're too good at home. They're too solid at home. No one's going to score. I would be surprised.
You were on the WhatsApp group. You could have vetoed it.
Oh, I wasn't reading that.
I ain't reading that.
It's on my holidays.
I changed
the name of the group to do not
ignore.
Read.
You still get the notifications.
Yeah, I know. I know it?
So, somebody tweeted us that Dean Marnie, apparently. Was it Dean Marnie that tweeted us?
Yeah.
He's on his fourth yellow.
Mm.
Yeah, he scored a lovely one.
He scored a great goal. If he's on his fourth yellow now, he's going to have... He's perhaps peaking too soon to get that.
If I was him, in the next game, I'd get another yellow. So I'm off. I would work it out so I miss Christmas, and I'll spend Christmas watching that go on repeat on a DVD. Yeah.
Didn't he score an absolute belter on his debut for Tottenham?
Spurs, yeah.
Possibly.
I think he might have scored 2 on his debut. Mm. He's quite a blistering.
He definitely came through at Spurs,
certainly early on in his career. That second Aguero goal was just error after error. Burnley players tackling each other. Mm. Yaya Toure falling over. Could have been a penalty, maybe. It was all going off. And then even then, I think it came off Aguero's thigh.
Let's call it as it is. I mean, the defending in the Premier League is abhorrent. Mm. It ranges from, at one end, the non-existent, to, at the other end, the occasionally vaguely competent.
I'll give you 9 reasons why that's good.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Yeah. I'm not having a go at it.
5-4.
I'm just saying that there's a big reason why the Premier League is so valuable, and it's partly to do with terrible defending.
True. Yeah. Well, it just keeps it entertaining, doesn't it? And long may it continue.
Indeed.
Apart from when any of us have a vested interest in it.
we should say Paul Robinson, 37, his first start in the Prem since May 2012.
I have to be honest, totally honest.
Nice to see him back.
I didn't know he was still knocking about.
He retired, didn't he? He was at Blackburn, and I think he gave it up. And then I think they got rid of him.
No, was he not at Barnsley?
He could see the goal at Blackburn once. I remember watching on the television, and it made me laugh out loud how long it took him to get his feet sorted out at the time, I think, was a Premier League goalkeeper.
How many England caps? 40?
But to be fair, he was the best of the bunch for a while.
Robinson was a fantastic goalkeeper.
He scored a goal once as well.
He did.
He should have had an assist for the goal for Burnley. Barnsley goal.
Speaking of scoring goals and sorting your feet out, Alvaro Negredo.
Yeah.
That first one.
Isn't that's been the problem all this time?
Maybe.
Forgotten how to use his feet.
Well, you need to be two-footed in the modern game. I love that. That is a classic one when people say, as a striker who's gone on a little bit of a patch of not scoring, one off the backside will do. Get it in. And he scored that, and that was a classic case of, if that had come off his foot and gone over the bar or whatever, that second goal would never have happened.
No, exactly.
Because the run
the
run he made and the way he took it was magnificent.
That's one of the things about football where you can, I don't want to sound like an old dinosaur or anything like that, but you can talk about stats and tactics and everything like that until you're blue in the face.
Geeks.
But there are certain intangible sort of truisms about football, and that's definitely one of them.
Right, yeah.
And it's completely linked through to confidence. I mean, I wonder how many penalties Spurs are going to give Vincent Janssen before he gets going. That's why they're giving him penalties, though, isn't it? Because they want to really get fired.
Of course.
They know it as well as we do.
Mm. I mean, yeah, Jamie Vardy could do with a penalty or something like that.
He just wants a pass. He's not had a shot on target since September the 10th.
For Leicester. Obviously scored for England against Spain. Yeah.
All right. Well, Danny Simpson.
Over that. Score for England against Spain. He's probably thinking, I ain't bothering with his contract.
Well, Danny Simpson has said that obviously teams respect Leicester a bit more now, so they sit deeper. And obviously, for a player like Vardy, that really changes changes his game, doesn't it? Whereas Spain are never going to show England that sort of respect.
and teams should have started doing that about three games into the season last season. If it carries on this for Vardy, he's going to start playing games with his medal around his neck.
Yeah.
Premier League medal around his neck. That old thing.
Daddy Simpson is not only the only thing he said. He's concerned that the club probably won't have a Christmas party.
Priorities.
Yeah. you don't like Danny Simpson, do you?
No, because he was aggressive to his wife. And
oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Not aggressive. No. He was arrested for it. So,
okay, yeah, fine. Mm. I mean, if we start drawing up a list of things people have been arrested for, I'll tell you what, mate.
Yeah, none of that, though.
That side of the desk.
I have many vices, but not that.
What about the guy you ran over in Korea and then tried to pay him off with a packet of cigarettes?
No, he ran Pete over.
That's Pete's story.
That was my end of the story.
Yeah, true enough.
The emails we get from his secret family suggest otherwise.
I was watching 24-hour news bulletins for 3 days in a row. Nothing came up on it.
You heard Pete's version of events. I took the liberty of finding the microfiche of the local paper.
just like the Leicester fans, I'm booing all of you.
Ranieri described what they're in now as a battle of relegation.
He's right. Leicester have won 3 out of 13 this season.
In a relegation scrap, aren't they, on this
fourth? Well, now they're through to this, the final 16 in the Championship. You'd think they'd kick on a bit and have a crack at the not getting relegated, but it seems like they're not.
They've got a point!
Isn't it the final 32, Peter?
Say again?
Isn't it the final 32?
Sorry.
I'd love to see them in the last 16, but
all right, well, that's coming.
Yeah, it will be. It probably will be.
Extradamus reckons so.
It's definitely coming.
The commanding presence of Schmeichel just not there at the moment. Imagine, I think that's a big deal, I think, for them.
It is.
Imagine if the Champions League winners were plying their trade next season, the Championship. The class. That badge on their arm.
Yeah. You know what? If that happened, or if they were like finalists and they got relegated, I think that would send a message that the quality of the Premier League is not as high as you expect or think.
Oh, would Leicester City fans take it? Would they take
it? They'd be booing it. They'd still be booing.
If Leicester got to the final of the Champions League, it would suggest that the quality of the Premier League's lower.
Yeah.
Would it?
I don't know, actually.
The second best team in Europe got relegated from it. It's a strange one, but
it's nice to come back after 2 weeks away and knowing that everything is the same.
But it's not the same. Because Spurs have lost a game this season.
Oh, they have.
They've beaten 2-1 by Chelsea. The first loss of the league season, because they've definitely lost in the Champions League this season.
I love how, to perhaps deflect this, Pochettino's probably, let's be honest, since the moment he's met him, probably realised he'd perhaps made a mistake on signing Sissoko. And he's just going, now I'm going to bury bad news by just going, look at him. Look at this idiot.
Get out at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not even putting him in the squad. Put that in your paper.
This has angered you, hasn't it, Peter? Musa Sissoko.
No, because we got 30 million and basically literally bolstered our title challenge in the Championship.
It's one of those things where we all looked at that and thought, Pochettino is a good manager that's done a lot of good stuff with Tottenham, who's got them playing very progressive football. He must see something that we don't.
Well, for France, he had some good moments.
Well, he was, but I actually saw Taylor and Basti, who I know you're friends with, Pete, and we've met before at the Ramble Live Show, has made a really good point about this on Twitter, was that there is this perception that he had a good Euros for France. He scored no goals, had no assists and created no chances. So, yeah, he looked very impressive when he came on. But, you know, there was no end product there.
He's 27 and he's £30 million. He should be putting in more performances than half against Man United.
Pochettino has taken a risk on him there as well.
He's
got to repay that. He's got this reputation, but obviously he believes his own hype enough to think, when I'm surrounded by better players, I'll just be brilliant.
Christian Eriksen.
If you can't get motivated for a title push and Champions League football, how can you get more of it?
That's exactly. It's very true.
It's Sissoko, the player that when the camera came to him on the touchline, he started to walk. I love that. That's my favourite. for that reason alone, I'm in favour of him.
Incredibly vulnerable laziness, that.
What about that goal from Eriksen?
Oh, it was lovely.
What about that goal from Pedro?
That was also very good.
See, I like it when Pedro does something like that, because I still sort of think, he's doing really well, and I think
Pedro seems to me like the type of character who should have just stayed at Barcelona, been looked after, been mollycoddled, and just gone about just quietly. He's the sort of player like Sergio Busquets who when he stayed at Barcelona his whole career, would have racked up like 400 trophies.
True, there is no shame at looking ahead at your career and going, you know what, I could be the next Guti.
No, exactly.
Pedro's playing well for Chelsea this season. Not as well as Victor Moses.
But oh, it's
happening. Player of the season gets the winner. The only man.
I love it when you only put stuff in the running order because it refers to things you've said that became true the week before.
Yeah,
I tell you what, if anything, if we took all those out, there'd be nothing in the show, would there?
Oh, yeah. Let's go to a quick ad break.
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. This is the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. And this is the Football Ramble.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/ramble.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Don't forget the preview show this Friday, sponsored by Bet365. It's going to be good. It's going to be brilliant.
I've got some. I've got a little bit of Mark Hughes stuff before we move on from the Premier League.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, go on.
The handshake thing came back again. If you just type Mark Hughes handshake into Google, 242,000 results. And the quotes from Hughes after this is brilliant, right? In the match report on Sky Sports, the only thing Mark Hughes, bear in mind, right, they won the game.
Yes.
The only thing Mark Hughes talks about is the handshake. He's obsessed with it.
It's amazing.
I think he just forgot for a brief moment what we do over here, win, lose or draw. Right, in fairness, he's come and apologised. I think maybe he was told to. It's something maybe the foreign managers don't always do, and they need reminding it is something we do over here. Mind you, British managers are in the minority these days, so maybe we shouldn't expect it. It was an emotional game. I think he was a bit emotional afterwards. Mm-hmm. He needed to be reminded, and I've shaken hands with him since.
He is obsessed with it. It's going to get to the point where he's just going, I don't know why people won't shake my hand. Do I have repellent hands?
I just think
why
he's
won't
bought,
people do this?
He's bent the joke shot and bought a buzzer. He just wants someone to shake his hand. He's just waiting. He's gagging for it. Do you read that story? Like, we'll probably disseminate this on Friday, but West Brom manager Tony Pulis has lost £3.7 million with his former club, Crystal Palace, after a high cop battle.
Oh.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone cap in hand.
He's absolutely ridiculous. Mark Hughes has been snubbed before with handshakes.
Oh, more than
Wenger. And the Mancini one, he didn't look at him.
The Mancini one was the best one, because Mancini gave him like a really poor lettuce leaf Donny handshake. And Hughes, and the thing was, the great thing about it was, the reason it was so good is because Hughes realised halfway through the shake and tried to throw it away.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, he was fuming
about it.
Throwing away the concept of a handshake.
Yeah, if you're not going to do it properly, don't bother doing it at all,
I do proper handshakes, I just don't do eye contact. Lord Ramble has a real problem with me not giving...
We all do, mate.
You're not firm.
I am firm. I have a firm handshake.
You need to do eye contact.
Has he got firmer in the part? So apparently he's got firmer than he was, which isn't saying something.
He's firmed up.
I was about to say.
I've firmenioed up.
Yeah. Well, let's...
Have you chubbed up your handshake?
Yeah.
Well, I starch my hand every day. I get in vinegar, boiling vinegar.
My goodness, we have to go to the Championship because Pete's Newcastle finally lost. Their nine-game winning run, comes to an end. Which is crazy because Blackburn moved out of the relegation zone with that win.
They're not very good this season, Blackburn. But no, and it's funny because I heard the show on Friday and Pete, you were in it walking in a Benitez Wonderland.
I was having a lovely time.
You said Blackburn are not a good side. Well, Owen Coyle disagrees with it because he said after the game, people see the table and think Blackburn are a poor team. Well, yeah. We took 2 points from our first seven games. From thereafter, I think it is now 17 points from 11 games. That is close to playoff form. They're currently 10 points adrift of the playoff.
It's not the worst point, though, is it?
The thing is, though,
he shouldn't say it's playoff form. He should say, with this type of form, we could get into the playoff.
But ultimately, we are judged by our league position, financially and legally.
I'd like to come back to Owen Corner and say, listen, Owen, just sit yourself down, mate. A couple of minutes. We've devised a very, very, some would say almost foolproof system of how good you actually are.
Does it lie? Does the league table lie?
3 points for a win. Always the same. Yeah. One for a draw.
Yeah.
If you don't win or draw, you don't get any points.
So,
Owen.
Sorry, what are the options again?
Which you've done nine times this season.
No, Owen, it's not like ice skating. Yeah. Why can't you get this?
Well, ten points is if it's financial irregularities. That's pretty much always the same as well.
I think Portsmouth got nine. I think it might have been Bournemouth got 19 once for that.
Oof.
Yeah,
that's not it.
I think someone got nine once. It can change, but it is severe. But the other thing about Owen Coyle is, I would also say, Owen Coyle has got more than enough experience of being not a very good manager to know how it works.
Well, Owen Coyle saying that's playoff form. No. Reading winning five in a row. They're up to third. That's playoff form. Yeah. All right? There's plenty of other teams in that league that are showing genuine playoff
form. But he's making the point that, you know, they had a terrible start and now they've arrested it and they've just been in the league.
Wait for a while.
Yeah. Before you say that.
Let it percolate.
Jim, we sort of see what you're saying, but we're having a laugh about it.
Right. Have you digs?
You're with us or against us?
I can remember when Owen Cole was under pressure and he might have been, I forget what club he was at, but he, for like no reason, had a massive rant in a press conference or an interview about Michael Cox at Zona Markin. Do you remember?
Did he?
Yeah. Because Zona Markin did like an analysis of his tactics and said it was terrible and he was fuming about it.
Imagine if he had it. Has it got us?
No, it wouldn't happen.
Suggesting, it is playoff form in the football rabble, lads. You'd be honoured, wouldn't you?
Newcastle's definitely got them. Newcastle's definitely got one eye on
the playoffs.
On the whole...
on the playoffs.
On the whole match tomorrow.
Is that right?
Bring me a semi, Rafa. Come on. That's what I want. Yeah, they're in the League Cup tomorrow against Hull.
It's true. It's very true. Enough, just before we move on, I do like Owen Cole. I listen to
you on Friday. You had a semi about Benitez already.
I did. It's only there. That was my joke.
But after Brighton's,
spoke over it.
After Brighton's win, Peter,
yes.
Newcastle's lead is just 2 points.
Cut.
Yeah.
Cut, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
But it's interesting. It is very interesting. Leeds are in the playoffs. Gary Monk's men, they're doing very well. They didn't start well, but they're doing a lot better now. They beat Rotherham 2-1. Peter Odemwingie.
Yeah. Monk wasn't happy. I read the local match report. I think it'd be the Yorkshire Evening Post. Is that a newspaper up there? Monk was fuming because I think Rotherham missed a really easy chance late on.
Rotherham should have got a point.
Leeds didn't play very well at all, apparently.
Well, Rotherham had 10 men for goodness knows how long, and they're rock bottom with 7 points from 18 games, already 11 points from safety. Leeds were 2-0 up. You shouldn't have to, just about see out the game at the end of it.
Leeds' form is actually very good. They've only lost one of their last six, and that was to Pete Donaldson's Newcastle.
Yeah, I'm playoff form. And I'm pleased. it is, Jim, because they're in the playoffs. I'm pleased for Monk because, you know, he did well at Swansea. Okay, it didn't end well. He's a good young English manager.
Yeah.
And
someone said that about Pardew, didn't they? I think Pardew in his late 50s.
Well, he's not late 50s, but he's in his 50s. Yeah. Was it Pardew himself?
Yeah.
Speaking of classic English manager, Steve Bruce. Aston Villa rather continue their remarkable run.
The Cuddly Revolutions.
Indeed.
I'd kill you with kindness.
But Villa had the last laugh over Virgin Trains, which is important.
Yeah, this passed me by as well.
Really weird
here?
PR stunt behalf of both of them.
Aston Villa beat Virgin Trains 6-2 in a football match. Virgin had mocked Villa's managerial situation when Di Matteo was sacked, and a Twitter duel ensued. And then Virgin challenged them to a match. Obviously, Villa stupidly accepted.
Sometimes,
but Stylian Petrov was involved.
So I love doing this show, but sometimes I want football to fuck off.
What about this, though, speaking of which?
Chippy businesses. I'll never get tired of them.
Friendly corporate speak.
Yeah. Like
Virgin Trains are actually the worst for that as well. Like the toilet has a funny little script in it.
Yeah, I saw that.
You can't throw down the
written
toilet.
Written by one of your peers, Jim, probably.
Jim, you only said that because of the way they treated your beloved Jeremy Corbyn.
Really?
I'm with you, Jim. I'm with you. Jack Grealish won a penalty late on, and I can't remember if it was that incident or another one. Neil Warnock came out with a classic Neil Warnockism thing to say.
He loves Arsenal, does our Jim Cross. He loves Arsenal.
Honestly, mate, this is what he said. He was like, he said, I was disappointed in Grealish shouting at the referee to get players booked, but I suppose it is young professionals at the present time.
Oh.
It's just classic.
Off the edge and it be crack.
I dig it, both him and his entire generation.
Yeah, the only way it would be more Warnock if he went on to say, I mean, he's a lovely lad, is Jack. I know his mother.
Yeah.
He's always on for tea on a Sunday.
It's brilliant. Little mention for Reading, 5 straight wins for Yaps Chaps.
Yaps Chaps.
A little mention just to say that, isn't it? Yeah. A little mention, if you like.
Could it be the season that Reading finally get back in the Premier League?
No.
We've missed them, haven't we?
Have we? I don't know. I've got nothing against Reading. I don't know if
sounds
I'm
like
crying out for them to get back up,
are we?
Essentially, this Championship section could really be... Leeds, could this be the season they finally get back in the Premier League? Aston Villa, could this be the season they get back in the Premier League? Reading, could this be the season they finally get in the Premier League? Derby County, is this the season they finally get in the Premier League? Yeah, so the answer to at least one of those teams is no, but only three can go up.
Steve McLaren. Done a great job since he's taken over from Derby County.
It's what he does, isn't it?
Yeah.
For a bit.
No.
In many ways, he's a natural success to Arsene Wenger. Because as soon as the pressure piles on him,
it's a microcosm, though.
Yeah, it's true.
But let's go to the Scottish League Cup final. Aberdeen 0, Celtic 3. Brendan Rodgers' first major trophy as manager.
But he what about the character of the group?
Yeah, he did win the playoff final with Swansea, of course, but that's not classified as a major trophy.
Because it isn't.
Yeah. Mm.
It's not a major trophy, is it?
No major trophy gets won in November.
Here we go.
So last time I mentioned this, a number of weeks ago, it might be when you were away, actually, Pete.
Right.
We talked about this, how the Cup... The League Cup final was played in November in Scotland, and how it's crazy, and how we were talking about semi-finals like the end of October, and then a load of Scottish fans. Now, I take no pleasure in this.
Here we go.
I'm going to use the word chippy.
Said, oh, they're talking about their pitches and stuff.
If you really
gets too cold.
No, if you really knew your football, Luke, they said. And I'm not sure why I've ever said that, but if you ever knew your football, you'll know that the Scottish League Cup final actually used to be played in November, and so you really do your research. I did do my research. Stops happening in 1981.
But they're still right.
Yeah, but come on.
They're still right.
I mean, come on.
Is it did used to.
I just detected a tiny amount, more than that, a modicum, a fragment of that chippiness.
You said that...
The double fried chip.
You said they're very well-balanced people. They've got a chip on each shoulder.
No, you've said that. And I would personally like to prefer to distance myself from that.
You can really tell that we're not booked to do any live shows there for at least a while, can't you?
The PR overtures have to start before that. Yeah. Oh, I love doing shows in Scotland. And by the way, I genuinely do love doing shows in Scotland. They're brilliant. Yeah, they're fun.
I know they are. We're all agreed there.
Yeah.
And the book is available in...
Scotland.
North of the border.
In Scottish, I thought you
in
were
Scottish.
But
the special Scotch version.
Would Brendan Rodgers give up that trophy to know definitively, once and for all, that he has the most honest player players in Britain?
Presumably, he'd have had an envelope to tell him that he's going to win this thing anyway, so...
Okay.
Let's go to Serie A. I don't think we're doing any Italian shows anytime soon. But Genoa beat Juventus 3-1. What the blazers was going on there?
Yeah, Juventus 3-0 up in half an hour.
I know, which is the first time since Juventus have been 3-0 down in a Serie A match at half time since 2005, which is quite a lovely stat, I think.
Underrated kit game from Genoa.
I haven't seen it, I have to be honest. I flew in this morning.
Just in general. Who got a brace? Giovanni Simeone. Diego's son.
Is that his son?
Yeah.
Excellent. One thing that's really exciting me about Serie A is Milan stalking horses. Right, they're third now in the league. They're right up there.
Are they second or third?
They're right up there. They are.
Yeah.
There was a great win from Gianluca Lapadula in that game.
And
is there a more satisfying name to say in football? He's been a bit of a journeyman in his career. He's like 27, I think, but he's banging them in.
Roma and Milan, they're second and third.
Serie A does that so well. You'll get a striker that comes through and they'll mature at the age of like 44. Get him in the World Cup squad.
Luca Toni was like that, wasn't he? Yeah. And also Paolo Rossi a long time was like that. But Luca Toni came through and seemed to really come through to prominence at about 34, but then just played on and on and on.
Luca Toni was, I think, a truck driver till the age of 50. And he was like, I've had a kick around with me kids and me grandkids.
And I think I'm pretty good.
I can do something here.
Yeah. He did. He was top scorer only the other season. But Atalanta won all the weekend. They're fifth, 5 points behind Juventus. I thought I'd signal them out, because since late September, they picked 25 out of 27 possible points. That is playoff form.
Yeah, Owen Coyle.
Oh, dearie me. We haven't got much time left. Just a little dip into MLS, because Steven Gerrard's retired.
Yeah.
He leaves a great legacy at the Galaxy behind. Oh,
when I was in the US, two really funny things happened to do with football. Yes. One was that the commentator in one of the games I watched kept saying green grass in front of him, and it kept making me think there was a player called Greengrass, yeah, but he actually just meant the pitch. And the second thing was, someone said, pundit, I forget who it was, that Steven Gerrard would still get back into Liverpool midfield now.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Sorry, I can't be more specific than that.
Kind of right in that Gerrard could just rock up and go on? And everyone at the club would just let him. Yeah. Yeah.
I think maybe in a League Cup match, if it was a helpful draw for Liverpool, maybe.
Something else happened which is really funny, but it isn't football related, and I know we're short of time, so I'll talk about it on Friday show.
It was
interesting.
Teaser.
It was around Black Friday, and the thing that made me think about it was Pete saying he was Black Friday Pete. Presumably you're Cyber Monday Pete today.
Is that when you sell it, buy the things on Monday?
Yeah, today.
Love seasonal.
Can
Pete.
I buy like loads of wires and stuff?
Yeah, I'm surprised you're not across it. I'm surprised you're even here.
Right, let's end the show. I've got things to do.
You should
Cybo.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You should take Tony Pulis shopping and he'd be like, Cybo!
He hasn't got any money. He hasn't got any money now.
True, yeah.
He owes money to Palace.
Well, he needs it more than ever then,
doesn't
he?
Can I just say before we finish that Robbie Keane is also going to leave LA Galaxy. Says he's got one more challenge left in him.
Yeah. China. That's a come and get me, China.
It is. I'd like to see him.
It would be remiss for this to go by without me, one of us, to say he supported China since he was a boy.
There we go. Right, we've got time for highlights of the week.
Yeah, I've got a few here. I'll bang through them real quick. This is from Josh Andrew. Hello to you, Josh. He said, my highlight of the week is Marcus Speller being ahead of the times with his shout for Victor Moses as player of the year.
Thank you.
What appeared to be the worst prediction since a penis sighting at the Euros, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
To be fair, a penis was seen at the Euros.
And Leicester will probably finish in the bottom half.
Has now become a national talking point, and here's the dig, even on well-respected football podcasts. Listen, we could possibly comment on that because we don't listen to anything.
Can I say, one of my highlights was Josh-related as well. Josh Sims' debut for Southampton. Exactly. Got himself an assist in the
from
first
human
minute.
Traffic.
Is he the one that Koeman had a dig at?
He wouldn't talk about him.
Didn't he say I was at the club and I wasn't aware of him as the captain?
No, he said it's not for me to say. Oh, okay, I'm the manager of Everton.
That's been lost in translation across the Atlantic, where they also speak English.
Good old Simsy.
Craig Lee, hello to you, Craig. Can't wait to wake up to the how to burn off 2 stone before the next Champions League squad registration window. Yaya Toure fitness DVD in my stocking on Christmas Day.
Yeah, he played again.
To burn off the festive timber. Matthew Moore, my colleague momentarily forgot the name of the 6-yard box in the pub the other day and went with goalkeeper's rectangle.
I love that. Lovely.
Final one, this is for you, Pete, from Aaron Pullen. My highlight is Alan Pardew stating in this pre-match press conference against Swansea that a clean sheet is top of our agenda today before subsequently shipping 5 goals.
Beautiful.
Good old Pards. There we go. That's Mark, the answer. Good old.
Any more for any more?
Nothing more from me.
All right then.
But do listen to the Al Webb interview on Acast Plus. Mm. It's only £1.99 a month and you get free ad-free rambles as well.
Yeah, exactly.
As well as all the ones we've already done.
Yeah, you do get all those as well. Well worth it.
I mean, Acast Plus, it's an app.
It is an app. Go to Acast to get involved.
Acast.com.
Yes.
Okay.
Or Acast on the search thing on your
True.
App.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. There we are. It's a pleasure to have you back, Luke.
Thank you for having me back.
And it's a pleasure, obviously, to have you, the listeners. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Right, they're a mixed bag. Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Bye, everyone.
Cheerio.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day.
Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.